who wants to go first? Talk about, take maybe a minute and talk about the topics that you thought made most sense to you. And if you also want to talk about the topics that we wasted too much time on, feel free to say that. Okay? And avoid saying, I mean, you don't need to talk about the quality of the instruction or the quality of the course. You have more than enough bytes that CES provides. Okay, so don't worry about doing that. Talk about just the topics. Who wants to do it? You. Okay, Steve Holler. And I have Lei Tang writing this all down, apparently. Okay. Just talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed mostly searching the beginning stuff, like, because they deal with games, and I never got any programs that were good, the pruning and the different searchings that you try to apply to the to anything, but in our project, particularly games, I enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the mostly it was the earlier stuff, the stuff in the earlier. Cut back a little, that's mostly what I enjoy. But also, I would say, I don't know the topic, but I know what I did. It was I guess it was still the vacuum cleaner. Yeah, I don't know what it was particularly called. I forgot. Should I say what I dislike too?
Sure.
Okay. Mostly the later stuff now, the more recent stuff. It's just the first order stuff. It's especially with the questionings you're giving. It's not particularly you, but it seems like you want us to get in the mood of writing sentences, asking these questions, because if you're trying to solve the logic, it won't work out unless you ask the right questions.
Yeah. That's true in English too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out if you don't ask the right questions, people won't give you answers.
Yeah, and then that's what I get trouble with.
Logic is a language.
Yeah. So yeah, and then I feel like I'm learning like not just the program, but an actual language when I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that sounded more like a bug for you, but it's actually a feature. In the sense, you need to learn how to write what you want.
Yeah. That's not something that that takes lots of practice. Yeah. That's not easy to do.
Who wants to go next? Wow.
Okay. Yes, sir. Probably you.
I like the search part too. Mostly because during that whole section, I kind of realized AI isn't really kind of what I thought it was, and a lot of the stuff that we covered in that section, I sort of realized it can apply to a lot of projects and stuff, not just things you think of when you think of AI. And also the probabilistic reasoning thing was really interesting, the way that the Bayes networks work and how it's able to figure out a lot of stuff just through the right process.
Okay. By the way, a didactic thing, talk to the class, not to me, because don't feel like you have to talk to me.
In general, you're just making a statement about what made sense to you, and I think,
that's interesting in itself. By the way, I do want to mention that there are big goals for AI, but even if we, in your lifetime, not essentially figure out the complete nature of intelligence and duplicate my computer, we will have, a lot of intermediate things that we could do as we develop the technology and similarly. So the kinds of search technology, the kind of stack technology that has been developed has been used in all sorts of other places, the same with search, the same with problem security. But it's not just what you're doing, but why you are doing it. I think that's part of the issue in AI. So that part of the reason you might be doing it could be because you think this is the way to design.
Hi, I'm Kyle. Probably my favorite part of the course was doing adversarial search and the pruning in the it was the second real project that we did. I like to tie into to game programming and all that kind of stuff, and also to see like a direct correlation between what we were doing in class and like the Deep Blue programming that I'd kind of been reading about on and off, and actually started playing chess quite a bit because of all that kind of stuff. But the real eye-opener project for me was the last one that we did, because up until then, I don't think I, even though, you know, I took 240 like everybody else and had to work in Prolog, I really didn't have any idea how it worked until we had to implement it, you know, in the, for that assignment. So I thought that was really the biggest, single insight that I got in the class.
Okay, good. Okay, this was the last question. There is one thing that I just wanted to mention, which is with respect to what Kyle said. Adversarial search, every semester I go through some process of deciding whether to talk about it or not. Like then one would have it, for example, we have to do adversarial search. Part of it is because there's no follow-up on adversarial search in the rest of the course. But I thought the way we went from the HR search and MVPs and into that, from this adversarial search, made me happy enough that I included it. And I do it really for that reason, because many people heard about Deep Blue, and it would be interesting to find out more what it does. And furthermore, one of the things that we haven't done enough in the class, and it could be very important, as why do you need communication? Why do you need to speak? If I'm alone, I don't need to speak to myself. If I do, people will go for that. Right? I just want to start using. We need communication because we have other agents. Multiple agents is very important. Just that the fact that we didn't do enough of it here doesn't mean that it's not important. There's a lot of work, very important work that's going on right now with the work on the and coordinating and communication between them. So think of adversarial search as the deepest link into that world. And there is a lot of it. Yes.
I'd say the thing that caught my attention initially was way early on, you sent a link on this Google Tech Talk for the DARPA challenge,
mm-hmm.
and how they were doing some of the different things we had talked about. I kind of want to echo some comments about it just being completely not what I expected, you know, the AI field in general. Although I did, though I don't have my mind wrapped around it completely, I really enjoyed the probabilistic learning techniques and using all those statistics that, you know, you learn, and it's been very eye-opening to see how applicable, you know, things like the variable elimination method, for example, just really getting into it was very, I had an aha moment last night working on that problem that was kind of just one of those things that you, I hate to say it, but kind of enjoy doing your homework.
You did that, you didn't.
Well, I'm sorry?
You did not enjoy.
Well, when I got it, it was nice, but I hated doing it.
Yes, Brandon.
So I really enjoyed the different inference problems for dynamic-based networks, getting a little bit of an introduction to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have liked to go over it a little more. So with respect to that, I really like the different inference algorithms, like enumeration and variable elimination, which is also why I wish we would have gone over those in class a little more,
uh-huh.
rather than last night or whenever I did it. So, and lastly, I also really enjoyed getting intimately interested in your family on Project 4.
You don't know whether those are the right names or not, but so, but on the other hand, let me tell you the following thing. I know I already said the last joke, but this is the last anecdote. Srinivas Ramanujan is a great mathematician. You should read about him if you don't already know. He's like a world-class mathematician who basically lived in Madras in 30s, 20s, and he wrote a letter to Professor Thomas Hardy, essentially giving him a huge number of results on partition functions and so on, and saying, would he be interested in working with him? And, you know, professors these days get way too many mails, and even those days they used to get mails from cranks. And Thomas Hardy is at the height of his career. And he had to decide, and Thomas Hardy was the fourth guy he sent this letter to. The first three guys said, who talked to some crank from some random place, making up the formula. And Pharmacology actually worked with him, GW Hardy worked with him, and he later on made this claim that while they could not verify whether these formulas for partition functions made by Ramanujan were actually right or wrong, he felt if they had to be right, because if they are not, nobody would have the imagination to make them up. So similarly, if my family name must be right, I don't think she would have made them up. Who else wanted the mic?
Yes.
Okay, actually, first point I want to mention is I'm really interested in the bias. Actually, I have taken the data mining course last semester,
mm-hmm.
and we have learned different algorithms such as decision tree on neural network, that kind of thing. But this is the first time I see them from a different perspective that is bias. It's really interesting to me.
Okay.
And second point is actually from my undergraduate student, I have learned something about AI. Also, nearly all the algorithms covered in this class, but
mm-hmm.
this time, I remember the first class you mentioned the chapter 2 is really important,
mm-hmm.
just to see the different algorithm from the agent perspective. That means such as problem-solving agent or utility-based agent, how to organize this different section into a whole system. Such as I remember the rectangle, each one, what will I do, what is the action of my result, that kind of thing. Help me to reorganize the knowledge I have learned before. So it's really interesting for me.
I may have mentioned in the beginning of the class when I started talking about intelligent agent design, that Russell has this black boxes, that this is the set of lectures that some people love, I guess you are one of them, and some people hate, and they think that was a waste of time, you know, why do we need analysis? It's a question of, do you need a rational way of organizing a bunch of topics that you're reading about? And it's not necessarily the case that Russell got those black boxes right. Okay, but until then, until I started looking at those things, I would always hate starting the second class of AI. The first class of AI is easy to start. You know, like everybody knows it. The second class of AI, before you start talking about AI search, what exactly do you say? Other than you'll do a bunch of things for the rest of the semester. It's just, you know, it's very hard to get excited about. And so if nothing else, this will help you, this intelligent agent, the agent design architecture would help you in organizing where should which different pieces fit. And just as the organizer that you have for putting your record is no better or worse than the organizer that I have for putting in my CD, just an organizer. Okay, so even if it only uses that, it still has helped you because you know why are we interested in search? Why are we interested in listening? Why should we care about dynamic based networks in terms of the big picture? Okay, so that's sort of a reasonable organization.
Well, yes. Mang.
Encounter.
By the way, you should say your names, I guess. Not enough names are known today. yeah, that's your name. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, in contrast to the first guy who's hype logic, I love it.
Okay.
The interpretation of your ways about the model theory and the Hilbert universe, and it also made me understand the Hilbert universe is not only one thematic for logic,
mm-hmm.
it's a bunch of them. And in the mid-term, you mentioned some other universe that I checked that. And
what part did you get last part?
No, in the mid-term. The sample mid-term, you mentioned some other universe and about the logic.
Last year interpretation, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I also checked that and read something about that.
I mean, these are giants. I mean, the name Hadron, Tarski, Kurt Gödel, these are all giants of mathematics and mathematical logic. You know, because we wind up having to deal with them, you know, because they talk about semantics or logic. And as I said, one interesting thing about first-order logic, however, currently what happened, one thing that I didn't spend that much time on in this class is, well, we didn't do really, is there was no first-order probabilistic logic that we talked about. Okay, to the extent you like first-order logic, and Steve Haller accepts it, you know, you need first-order logic. The world is made up of objects and relations between them, and you need to be able to talk about it that way. Uncertainty is important, so is object structure. And so as I said, first order probabilistic logic, that's one of the most feverishly worked on areas right now. And, you know, figuring out inferences, semantics and inferences, plus inference methods for that is going to be important. You know, maybe 6-7 years from now, maybe I'll be able to teach that into AI, if I can still talk. But that's one of the areas. And, you know, I think logic is not, deterministic logic by itself is not useful. But it's also the case that propositional probabilistic logic is not by itself completely useful. It does slightly more than pure deterministic proposition.
And yes. I also love the language you choose for project, the Lisp. It's kind of useful, especially when you want to learn something about the programming language. The lambda expression is extremely useful. So
Google has a cluster of machines. I'm sure all of you are trying to interview Google. Google has a huge cluster of machines on which they have to do various kinds of simple operations on a huge number of machines. And the higher level architectural paradigm they came up with, you know, language paradigm they come up with to work with this cluster of machines is basically MapReduce. Okay? And you can read about it. That's essentially what they do. So you may or may not, you know, and what somebody said is an idea, once you're exposed to an idea, your brain is not going to get back to its old place. So all I hope is one day in the problems of C++ hacking, you'll say, oh my God, I wish I had this other thing I was able to do. And from discontent comes change. You know, I mean, you were discontent during using Lisp too, but you know, hopefully you'll be also discontent because of Lisp with C++. So there's more to life than C++.
Also, the Talat project has inspired me a lot.
Okay.
Especially the extra point about the negation failure. I understand how easy it is to implement that, but the idea is, and the how semantic behind that is very...
Much harder.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a very good point. I mean, the negation as failure is very easy to implement, but providing reasonable semantics for negation as failure, you know, tricked a lot of people for a while. I mean, it's now understood, but it's not as easy. Because that's the way you get into normal transition.
Who else has things to say? Yes.
Hi, I'm Shankar, and when you talked about Lisp, I had been reading Paul Graham about articles of Paul Graham about Lisp. He's a big fan of Lisp, so I had been wanted to learn Lisp, and I wanted to work on it. But since I was never forced to do that, I did not do basically. So the Lisp project was very helpful in this area. And coming to the topics which interested me most, it was probably the probabilistic reasoning and the use of very simple ideas of bias net and dynamic bias nets in learning. And one of the papers which you sent, the one by MIT guys talking about how humans use Bayesian reasoning, was pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, that's the Tenenbaum paper which is talking about the possibility that we might have bias embedded in our system. Again, these are, it's very hard to lobotomize people and tell whether or not they have lambdas in their brains, but you know, there are ways in which they try to get up. Others, notice I'm not hearing more things even though I made a dark statement, but I hope you have something to say. Yes. You know that.
I'll come back here. Yep.
Hi, Felipe. I was really amazed of how really artificial intelligence was. It couldn't even imitate the way humans think. It had to find other methods to make programs work, such as games with min-max. I really liked that part. And it was just finding a maximum of minimums, but what really made the program was a heuristic, and I was playing chess games against a computer, and I found this one chess program where it didn't recognize a promotion where you could get a second queen as an advantage. It just completely left it out of the heuristic, and so it's a heuristic that really matters on the program. And what I really liked about these programming projects were I really learned how to stop worrying and love Lisp. It was a new language to learn. I really got a lot more out of it from 240, and it was a lot easier. Well, it was much understandable how to look online and uncover how to do certain functions and how to make these programs work rather than having somebody tell you how to do it.
I'm Matt Martindale. I really liked the first half of the class better too. Projects 1 and 2 were interesting. I think you can really apply min-max to a lot of aspects of your life, really, if you think about it, whether it deals with work or whatever. Also, I like the analogies to Seinfeld episodes. That really helps you really get the clear picture in your head. I didn't really like the planning. I thought the examples were just not as intuitive as they could have been, I guess. And that's about it.
By the way, there is a National Lampoon, if you go to National Lampoon's website, they have a hilarious spoof on the most recent Kramer episode, the real-life Kramer episode. It's a connect-up to the rest of Seinfeld. Yeah. Did you want to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one thing to read about time complexities in the book, but it's another thing to go to bed and wake up and have your program still running. Before this class, if my program didn't compile and run and get an answer within a couple of seconds, I'd reboot. But it's a real eye-opener. Like you said, I don't know if it's motivated me to change my programming style, but at least now I feel bad about it if I have an inefficient program.
So, half of my life I do research these days in database and data integration, and I started reading database papers. My first reaction was, this was 12-page long footnote-sized paper, footnote-sized font paper, which is talking about what would be a footnote in a AAAI paper. Okay, then essentially what happens in AI is oftentimes, because most things are at least NP-complete and otherwise you won't pay attention to them, really all most reasonable problems you are looking for are intractable. Okay, so whereas most of your other areas, if you show intractability, then you do something else. And in AI, things start getting interesting when it's NP-complete. And then the rest of the hierarchy is ours to play with. And as we say, we have semi-decidability just at first-order logic, in terms of theorem proving. Yes.
I think the interesting part of the lectures are the ones where high-level visualization is given. For example, lecture on RTDP, where it generalizes to an MDP, and if you take a deterministic way using the F value at the leaves, it turns out to be an RTA star.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take min-max strategy, it becomes a game tree. And another such lecture is the visualization using the Russell's example on the biases, where you could have used the NBC or association rules or any learning. These part of the lectures are interesting. One more thing I noted was the concern on memory we are using throughout the course.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, previously the memory, nowadays the memory is getting more and more cheaper, and the techniques like pattern databases are becoming popular. So I wonder how such techniques could be applied to other places. It's like there might be a scenario in future where you almost pre-compute all the possible solutions and store it in a database and just make a question answering system.
So that is actually a very good point, and people, especially in search, worry about it. But thankfully, even 24 puzzles, you can't do this.
Yeah.
And 24 puzzles is as dull as a doorknob, and yet you cannot really pre-compute and store everything. And so
we are talking humongous search spaces. However, the falling prices of memory are going to change what kinds of algorithms are important and what kinds of algorithms are less important. Since we are coming up on 55, I'll do one more, and then I will have a slide, and then we end. All of you would be asked one free question, since you stayed all the way here. One free question in the final would be, list five ideas that you like, and list five ideas that you felt, are overplayed. And so you all get to, if you thought about this, you can write them down, and then you're going to get 5 points. So I will hear about your voices to end up with. Who wants to have the last word? I think not enough women spoke, so.
I'm Aksha. And what I actually like most is the fact that I actually like the homeworks, because most often in most courses you just run over the ideas in a very abstract level, so you never really get down to using them with numbers and actually working things out. So for instance, I'm probably one of the few people who would say I like planning, and I like the when we actually worked out and drew the planning graphs and showed the mutexes. I thought that was pretty cool. And I also liked the part about Bayesian networks and inferences with Bayesian networks. I enjoyed those lectures. So I liked the fact that it was more application-oriented, the entire course, so you would actually learn to use whatever you learned more than just learn it. So.
I have two comments. Throughout the semester, once in a while, somebody would say, you might be doing too much for a postgraduate course. I invite you to look at Stuart Russell's Intro to AI course that he teaches to worthy undergrads. I know I'm as good as Stuart Russell. You are as good as Stuart Russell. This is my normal last slide. Those of you who are Schindler's List can imagine the music behind. Basically, the list of topics that I would have covered if I had
the
like I mentioned, CSP and that technology is one of the things that I would like to spend more time on. I did that in the past, and I think it's a great idea. Reinforcement learning, I made the slide, but we don't have time. I think it's a great idea. We should have asked about it. Bagging and boosting is a way, if you are given any single learner which has 0.5 plus epsilon accuracy, 0.5 plus epsilon accuracy, you can then stack it up on itself and reach any level of accuracy. And there are very powerful ideas that I've heard in my talk about them. Planning under uncertainty and incompleteness is connected to dynamic Bayes networks. It would have been great to do more of that. Multi-agent anything. We only did the adversarial reasoning, which is multi-agent reasoning. Perception, of course, you know, it would be great to at least start talking about statistical language processing. Some of that